for the touch of your lips, dear, but much more for the touch of your whips, dear. You can raise welts like nobody else as we dance to the masochism tango.
It is the 2012 masterpiece American Mary from the Soska sisters. Hillary is joining us from her bed.
From my bed, I'm wrapped around dogs, and one of them just farted on me. It's a Saturday. And looked over his shoulder and was just like, take it, bitch. Yeah. Yep. I ain't moving.
Was that Kenobi?
That is 100% Kenobi.
Okay. I have never been more excited to talk about a movie. I'll be honest with you. I had never seen this before. I had never even seen the trailer for this before. What is your background with American Mary? Like, this had to have been semi-recent.
I saw this when I was like first getting clean.
Okay. Okay.
Somebody, you know, like, because I had absolutely nothing. So somebody gifted me a TV with a DVD slot.
Oh.
And, yeah. And
wow. Those were good TVs.
Right. And so, like, you know, it wasn't like a smart TV or anything like that. And there, I couldn't afford streaming anything. Mm-hmm. But there was a thrift store that I could walk to. And I would walk down, and all their DVDs were a dollar. So I would like walk to the thrift store, and I would go buy like 5 to 7 like physical copies of media.
Okay.
And then bring it back home. And American Mary was on there. Mm-hmm. And so I bought American Mary for like $1 and just, you know, I had Catherine Isabel on it, and I was just like, yes, all day. Yes, every day. And watched it. And like, really, as I was watching it and you had texted me like, I love this movie, I was just like, man, we should have named the podcast just Good for Her. Because we love Good for Her movies.
We do love Good for Her movies, don't we?
Good for Her.
Good for Her. Yeah, that's amazing. Like, I had no knowledge of this film or the Soska sisters, or other than the fact that they had remade Rabid, and I still haven't seen it. And
I don't think I've seen that.
Oh, you have seen that?
No, I don't think I've seen that.
Okay. Okay.
Mentioning the Soska sisters, just it, that doesn't, yeah.
The funny thing about it is, you know, I didn't know anything about them, and I kind of did a quick Google search this morning, and I spent the morning on Reddit, but I have a theory. Now, granted, I'm not sure if it's, I don't know if it's right or not, but I'm going to say it anyway, because we are that podcast. I think it's that they make movies with really strong, you know, female characters whose high heels are bigger than most men's dicks. And I feel like a certain level of, say, male horror fans prefer their women in horror to be blood caked and screaming, and also very chaste. They don't prefer their female heroines to be sexual, or sexual when they want them to be sexual, as opposed to, you know, the Soska sisters, which are femme centric and very much strong women. Like, they just are, and their female characters are very strong women. So I get it. And should some would say some horror male fans are just a wee bit misogynist. Just
I don't feel like this is a hot take. Like, I keep waiting for like the shocking thing. Like,
I know.
I'm sitting here like on, you know, pins and needles waiting for like Aaron to like drop the truth bomb that no one's ready to hear. And it's just like, no, there might be some problematic males in the horror community. And I'm like, and then?
Yeah. Duh. Okay. Yeah. Right. I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, yes, I absolutely love this movie. This movie brought up a lot of emotions and feelings that I kind of had to process. And I love it. I really, truly love it. I will probably watch it another 4 or 5 times, you know. I really enjoyed it. And I know it's funny because we have a rule on the show when people, you know, when people, you know, are trying to buy us a coffee, so we'll do a movie. We have our rule, at least it used to be, was no rape, no pedophilia, no incest, you know. And this movie breaks that rule. But I don't know. I feel like rape revenge films, maybe that's the exception. I don't know, because this movie is
I
very
feel like
much.
it can't be the plot center. Like it
Right.
can't, right? I can't, like, I spit
I
on your
spit on your
grave,
grave.
which is a rape revenge film, but the
But
rape is an hour and 20 minutes of an hour and 30
yeah.
long minute mo— like, no, I
Yeah.
don't want to watch a woman get gang raped in the woods for
For like
94
45
fucking minutes.
minutes. Yeah,
Yeah, I
exactly.
just. For
No.
her to get in a canoe and take off somebody's dick, like,
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's not exactly the payoff of it is very small
Yeah.
comparatively, right? So,
But, like,
yeah.
bad things happen to women, just
Yeah.
period. And, you know, seeing the transformation of, like, this very intelligent, very ambitious, very, like, a little naive, struggling girl into, I mean, into an absolute fucking emotionally dead
Yes.
sociopath. Like,
Yes. Yes.
we need to follow along with her, and something needs to happen for
Exactly.
us to go, okay, but why is she doing this? Like, and just, you know, you can't just give her anything, you know? It just,
Yeah.
so
Like,
yeah.
that's the thing, is it this is not irreversible, if you know what I mean. Like, this is
Yeah.
not like we didn't watch that movie, right? I feel like it the this the sex the okay, we're gonna back that one up. I feel like the sexual assault scene in this film is warranted. And I felt like it was handled, you know, in as much of a sensitive way as it possibly could have been, given the environment, right?
Yeah, like,
You know?
you know what is happening,
Yeah.
but it is not
Yeah.
like just graphic just to be graphic.
No, it's
Yeah,
not. It's not.
like, you know exactly what is happening, and it makes you feel uncomfortable and gross, or it should anyway, but it's not done to, you know, it's not, you know, titties out and smeared lipstick and, like, you know, like the shit that can look physically appealing. This
Yeah.
is clearly just like an unwarranted attack that should make you feel yucky and not turn you on. And it's
Absolutely.
Catherine Isabel, who
Right.
is mother, and every other scene that she is in, she screams, fuck me, please, in my opinion, including dead sociopath murder. Like, absolutely sex goddess extraordinaire
She's
to,
gorgeous.
yeah, to the one scene I don't want to fuck her in is when she's being fucked, you know.
So yes, she's amazing. You know, like we did we talked about her a little bit on the Ginger Snaps episode, which was amazing. And so she's fantastic. I'd like to look at more of her catalog. I do know that she was in Freddy versus Jason. She has a baseball cap on. She fucks some kind of pseudo intellectual. So that's a thing. But no, I love her. I love her. I thought this was brilliant. This movie plays like an opera, actually, is how I described it when Slink and I were watching it last night, was given the ending, given the colors, the music, all of that, it plays very much like a tragic opera. And
I love that. You're so right. As soon as
like,
you said it, you know, my brain goes to, you know, the two operas that I've seen. So I'm pretty much an expert. You know, I feel like I'm an expert in saying that, but yeah, absolutely tragic opera, colors, costumes, song choice.
All of
Well
it.
done.
Yeah. Very, very just you know. Okay, so the movie opens with a medical student that is Catherine Isabel playing Mary. Mary is sewing up a is it a chicken or a turkey?
She says it's a turkey. It looks like a
Looks
chicken to
like a
me, but
chicken. Yeah, it
But
definitely looked like a chicken, but I don't know. So she's sewing that
poultry.
up. Yeah, she's
She's,
sewing up poultry.
yeah, to work on her sutures.
To work on her sutures. She is actually studying to be a surgeon, which is a very high stress, difficult job. My dad was a surgeon also, in addition to being, an OBGYN. And so it requires a very specific level of just focus and not making mistakes, right?
Yeah.
Because you make mistakes, people die, or you make mistakes and people end up scarred, right?
Yep.
So it's interesting that she starts off as someone who has to be perfect to be a surgeon, right? And then she kind of slides into the DMs of the body modification world, which is sort of taking what some people would consider is perfect and then just, and then looking through it like a fun house mirror, buddy,
Yeah.
So she is in class and her cell phone goes off and she looks over at the cell phone and you can see that it says student loan, so you're like,
Yep.
oh yeah, I've gotten that call before. And her professor, who just call Professor Dickhead,
Yeah, we could do that. Yep.
just for the sake of this, Professor Dickhead is, it dresses her down for having a cell phone on and asks her several questions to try to discern if she is in fact paying attention in class. And of course she is Johnny on the spot, answering immediately. And he tells her after class, it's interesting his choice of words here, because and I wish there's times when I wish my dad was alive when I'm watching films, because then I'd call him up and be like, hey dad, is this true, kind of thing.
We used to do that too.
But what I noticed is that the language that the professor uses is really vulgar. I mean, granted, you and I, we're fucking dropping C bombs all over the place and whatever. But for a professional and a professor who is also a surgeon to just be like dropping, like, yeah, I've got enough lazy twats in my class and I don't need, another one, and it's just like, holy fuck. So he says these things in front of her and then in the same breath is telling her how brilliant she is and how, so he's already not a friend to women, if you will. But he's flipping it, right? And we know from the opening of this film is that Mary either doesn't have parents, like they are not alive, or she's very, very connected to her Nana, who is her grandma. But we are to assume, because there was a money conversation with them, that her parents are dead. So a lot of times, women who have lost a father, that is a thing that they will gravitate towards men who are in positions of power, positions of authority, right? So you can tell that she does have this admiration for this professor, even though he's really uncouth and just a dickhead,
Yeah, he seems like he constantly wants to disarm her, whether it's asking you questions and like part of that, and then like the oh, I don't need like lazy twats in my class because I'm just like one, I'm just like one of the guys, but also like you're brilliant and just like which road is the one that's gonna knock her off her square? And I can almost wrap my brain around in the beginning because they talk about how, like, surgeons demand perfection every day,
Perfection.
every single day. That which road is going to be the one that, like, rocks your square because that's the one that you need to correct. So is it the friend? Is it the vulgarity? Is it the surprise questions? Is it that, like, and I. In the beginning, it does seem like he is really trying to mentor her. Because, okay, just because you're smart doesn't, just because you know the answers doesn't mean that you can do them in a high pressure situation.
Absolutely.
So, in the beginning, I'm just like, man, he really is trying to teach her.
But I will add to this. I will add to that. Just as you said that, there is a fine line between mentoring and grooming.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But until you know
What
which,
his whole deal is,
right.
you're thinking, oh, he's a mentor.
Yeah. In the beginning, absolutely total, mentor of, this is going to be the area for you to fine tune. Your sutures are good. You know the answers. You can handle this language. You can handle, handle medical terminology. Which is the thing that makes you stumble? Because that's the thing you need to correct. Yeah. So I like in the beginning, even though he is, Professor Dickhead, in beginning it was very much for me that I thought that he was a good professor.
I like that. So so she obviously is, she's running into money problems, right? She doesn't want to take money from her nana. She wants to figure this out on her own. She lives in kind of a crappy apartment.
Which is
And
an
the,
I love
which I loved it
movies.
anyway. Yeah.
Movies, crappy apartments are never crappy
Crappy
apartments that
apartments,
like.
right? Like to the other people would be like, oh, it's kind of a slum. And it's like, no, it's actually really interesting. But I
Yeah, with
know, I
the
get it.
like loft upstairs that
Loft
you never get to
upstairs.
go up on. Yeah, I really
Interesting.
wanted to check out those stairs, but
That's a great
okay.
apartment. Well, so it's important to point out also this movie is shot in Canada. This is, you know, even though it takes place, quote, in Seattle. It is actually shot in the Vancouver area, so it was shot in Canada. And I love Canadian scenery too. Like I love how Canadians their living quarters, if you will. Like it's really cool. So she is going through what looks like Craigslist,
Yeah.
and you know, and she does what I think a good portion of us women in our 20s at one point did, which is look at the ad that says $1,000 for, you know, some what is what did the ad actually say? It said something like
No
sensual
sex
massage.
involved, yeah.
Yes, no sex involved, guys, $1,000. And she's like, okay, so let's go down there. So she goes down to this, honestly, like if a sex club by way of Fincher, right? Because it's very dimly lit. And it was funny because like the night before I had watched 8mm for the first time.
You've never
So
seen 8mm?
no, I hadn't
Wow.
seen it. So the dark element of it and all the dark clubs and the seediness of it, I was like, oh hey, we're back here again, you know.
Yeah.
So she meets Billy, the strip club owner. And you know, he says, okay, now for the hard part, you know, you're not fat under there, are you? You know. A. And she says, you know, she takes her jacket off, and she's wearing this absolutely beautiful bustier. And he's like, okay, all right, good. And he says, give me a massage, you know. And she's very awkward with it. Like she doesn't, you know, she's not all up in his business. She's just kind of like trying to give him a massage through his leather jacket. And he's like, no, not through the jacket. Takes the jacket off. And then they get interrupted by a 6'8" Viking metal singer named Lance, who I
Who is
love.
my favorite character?
Character, absolutely. Oh, 100%. 100%. Yes.
Oh, that's my boy, Blue.
He's my
That's my
favorite.
boy. Yeah.
He is my favorite. So he comes in, says, Black's not coming back. And he's like, what? You know, and he's like, come here. So they go and they talk, and then he comes back. And after reading Mary's resume, which has a variety of schooling on it, he has found out specifically that she is studying to be a surgeon. And so he takes this opportunity and says, how much actual surgery do you have experience with? And she's like, I mean, not much, you know. And he's like, want to make 5 grand? And you're thinking, whoa, where is this going, right? So they go to the
Right.
basement, the murder basement, right?
The
And
murder
murder
basement.
basement, and we meet this very bloody, skinny, just falling apart dude in the basement. And they tell her like, hey, work your magic. So she sutures him and then goes and throws up, you know, because
Yeah.
she's, yeah, she's.
Yeah, like what happened to there are like parts
Nope.
in this movie that like they're just there's a little bit of a hole. Yeah, so like
Yeah, as
what?
far as
Yeah.
what happened, yeah, it's a very. There's a lot of non-linear storytelling in this film, right? There's a
Yes.
lot of like dream sequences that you think are real that are not. There's a lot of like cuts that happen, and one of the criticisms of this film is a lot of people, you know, are like, "Well, it's not gory enough," and it's like, okay, easy, you know. So I'm like, all right. So she gets a call from her other boss the next day, and it turns out it, you know, she works as a waitress in a mall, and I guess they didn't pay their rent
Yep, it's going
because
around.
boss is like, yeah, man, we don't have any more shifts for you because the mall locked us out. So she's just kind of beside herself, you know, she's pouring wine, crying, you know. And she gets a phone call from somebody who sounds like Betty Boop. Actually, the actress who does this film modeled her style of talking and her voice after Audrey in Little Shop of Horrors. So that's where it
Oh,
comes
okay.
from. Yeah, she's modeling it after Ellen Green, and that's her voice. Oh, and you would know Ellen Green also. I'm throwing this out there. I know you're not going to know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I'm going to throw it out there. She is the cool teacher in Pump Up the Volume.
Oh.
There you go. Okay.
Okay,
So,
thank you. Yep.
yep, there you go. So she's, you know, she's pouring wine, she's crying, and then this person knocks on her door and says, you know, I have a package and you have to sign for it. And she's like, all right, 211, whatever. And she comes up, and this grotesque version of Betty Boop comes to the door and just freaks her out, man. I mean, I would be freaked out by this. The mask that they have her wearing, or the facial reconstruction that she is displaying, is it's very similar to like a character in Tourist Trap. You know,
Oh.
just right, just
Oh yeah, okay. Sorry, I had
creepy,
to go through
yeah,
the files.
just creepy and like very exaggerated and you know, very, very scary, right? So she says, you know, hey, I'll pay you $10,000 if you come and see my friend and do this surgery that she wants. And she's very she's very like clandestine with it. She doesn't say anything about this. She's just like, it's an important surgery. She really wants it done, you know. And Mary really is not in a position to be able to turn down 10 grand.
Yeah, like
So
just for showing up, I'll give you 2 grand.
2 grand. Yeah, two
And you
grand.
talk to her. My niece works at the vet clinic. We can use it after hours. Just if you just show up, I'll give you $2,000. Nobody else will do this for her. And it's just please come. I have money.
And the
And
yes,
yeah.
the Betty Boop impersonator is also a dancer at the club where Mary works. That's how she got her information. She actually got it right off of her resume.
Yep.
And her name is Beatrice. And Beatrice is basically hanging out at this vet's office, which is where they're going to do the surgery, with what I believe is her teenage daughter, Tessa.
Niece.
Niece.
Yep.
Okay, it's her niece. All right. So yeah. She's like, don't be a cunt, dear.
Yeah. Tess is just at that age where if she's just not high all the time, she's just a raging bitch to everyone.
Amazing, amazing. So we meet the girl that wants this particular surgery. Her name is Ruby Real Girl, which she runs Ruby Real Girl Designs. And she's this statuesque blonde, and she basically wants to be a Barbie.
Yeah,
She
she wants to be a doll because dolls aren't sexual. And I went, what?
Which is
Keeps,
interesting.
yeah, I was like, people fuck dolls all the time.
Yeah, which is interesting because you know that there's probably a backstory to that
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
in
no.
some way, but it's never discussed, right? So she basically wants her to remove her nipples and to sew up most of her genitalia. Not
Yep.
all of it. And so she that and make her look like a Barbie doll, you know.
Yeah. Show up down there as much as you possibly can. And then in my notes, when I was taking notes on the movie, I went, what about her butthole? Because, like, but I mean, like, you do need that to poop. Like, you don't need, like, the other one so much. So, like, the butthole's gotta, like, remain. So you could still, do butt stuff. So, yeah,
Butt
no, I've,
stuff.
yeah, I have no problem with Ruby's request.
So because of the situation, Mary gets kind of introduced by her via the website to the world of body modification. She actually opens up a body modification website called Abstract, and she's looking at it, and of course it's like your typical what you would think a body modification website would be like. It starts off with like death metal, and she sees a bunch of, like rejects from Strangeland, and then
That's my quote too.
she shuts the laptop because, oh God, I can't possibly do this, you know. $10,000 to do that surgery was just fine, but I'm not going any further than that. So she has to do this exercise at school where the professor who is leading the rounds is basically telling her, like, okay, so I want you to go in and tell the family that their husband has had a heart attack.
And
So
without hesitation.
she goes in and she does it. It's very and it's very clinical.
Very clinical. She
Very
spends no
clinical.
time with like comfort. As soon as he asks her to do it, she marches right in, says, and we don't hear what she says, but she is back within 30 seconds
Oh
doing her
yeah.
residency with her clipboard and her stethoscope. What
Absolutely.
else you got? Yeah, you don't rock me.
And then he says, okay, now I want you to go in there and tell him that he's dead.
No
And
hesitation.
no hesitation, she goes in, and it's almost like you can kind of feel this. And I guess with surgery, it's very tricky because as a surgeon, you have to be able to deliver this bad news, but you also have to be able to maintain your composure because you were in a job that requires you to maintain your composure. So she goes in there and almost like sociopathically tells them that, yep, he's dead. They start crying, and she just on
Yeah, it's
turns
a
the
mom and
heel.
like two young sons.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Children.
And like just like the shock on the face, like, you just destroyed the world of this family. And then, it's just okay, back to work.
So she goes to take a break, and she takes a coffee break, comes back, and the teacher says, hey, you think you make a good slasher? He's like, sometimes we call surgeons slashers. And that was another moment that I wanted to call my dad. Like, I wanted to be like, is this a thing? So she says, oh, I want to be a surgeon. She's very adamant about it. And he says, okay, well, we're having a party tonight, a get together of other surgeons, and we'd like to invite you. And she says, well, is Professor Dickhead okay with me coming? And they're like, he mentioned you specifically. And yeah, so she's like, okay, she's excited about it. And then sort of kind of piggybacking on that, Beatrice shows up, has called her several times, shows up stalking her, gives her a gift. And what gift does she give her, Hillary?
I didn't think that she ever opened the box.
Ah, okay. So it's not like the apron or anything, right? That's what I was wondering, is that that's what she gave her, but
Yeah,
no.
no, it's just one of those mysteries that doesn't get solved. I didn't know if it was like extra cash. Oh, no, you know what it pro no, it's the dress that she wears.
Is it the
'Cause
dress?
at the party she says, thanks, a friend gave it to me. Yeah, no, it's
So
got to
yeah.
be the dress.
Yeah,
And
so
yeah, they
yeah.
would know like her sizes and Ruby Rose Designs, Ruby Real Girl Designs. She probably made the dress as a thank you to the surgeon who gave it to her. So it's a dress. That's what's in the box. It's the dress that she wears.
Okay, interesting. And when she goes later on, when Mary goes to Ruby Real Girl's apartment, she does get to see that Ruby Real Girl has a husband. as well as several male suitors, but she also has a picture of her and her husband. So whenever you hear like some of the surgeons are getting together for drinks, that never ends well, as far as I'm concerned. So she gets to this party and she takes the elevator up to this gorgeous penthouse, and it's so beautiful. But once again, everything in this film is beautifully lit.
Great shots. Yeah. Like just
the cinematography in this is absolute chef's kiss. It's beautiful. So she gets there to the party. She's beautiful. And this really overly enthusiastic guy gives her a drink. And it's almost like he is in on the joke that's going on. And so he's giddily awaiting what's going to happen to her. Cause he's like, oh yeah, drink up, you know, drink up. Yeah. Oh, welcome.
Yeah, I did my part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, here's your drink. Yeah. One of the things that Dr. Dickhead, Professor Dickhead comes over to talk to her and sees her dress and says, yeah, you know, you really seem to be doing a lot better financially than you were prior. you have a new dress and a new stethoscope and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And she's like, well, the dress was a gift. And, you know, she kind of, thankfully, you know, she's not letting the cat out of the bag as far as that goes. So there are two things that happen that are, they're kind of fairly on the nose, but they are very telling, which is that, you know, essentially people will tell you exactly who they are. You just have to listen. And one of the things he says is everyone here is out for themselves.
Yep.
Everyone in this room is out for themselves. And then he talks about how the doctor who invited her paints pictures of people being eaten by animals.
Uh-huh.
You know, so predator prey.
Yep.
You're already kind of hearing it. And at this point, she's already drank her drink. So her vision begins to blur.
Mm-hmm.
And she ends up being taken to a bedroom by Professor Dickhead, and he rapes her. Not only does he rape her, but he rapes her and videotapes it.
Yeah.
And when she's walking through the party, she catches a glimpse of a woman just lying on a bar while a bunch of dudes jerk off on her or jerk off to her. Whatever.
Yeah. You know. And that's being videotaped and everything. But and then she wakes up in the morning, mm-hmm. and Professor Dickhead just spent the night next to her. Like, mm-hmm. that this was totally fine. Like, yeah. Yeah. That enraged, like, the fact that, you know, there was, like, a woman in lingerie collecting money in the party, and I'm, like, yelling, like, bitch, open your eyes. Yeah. Like, read the fucking room. And I don't mean to be victim blaming whatsoever, because she didn't ask for, like, what happened to her, but, like, read the fucking room. Then we've got, like, the girl, like, almost passed out on the bar, but now it's too late, because you've already been drugged. And, like, my moment of rage was coming to in that bed, and he was just sound asleep like a little baby kitten, just right next to you. I like seeing fucking red that. And I was just like, yeah, no, that would make me a total fucking sociopath too.
Yeah. Yeah. If I may bring the room down for a moment, like we can't get any brought down any further than a girl being drugged and raped. So I've been sexually assaulted, and this movie brought up a lot of that for me. And I was groomed by a film director who I was president of his fan club when I was 12. So he knew me from age 12 all the way up to age 26 when it happened. And, you know, and he would send me gifts and letters and praise. A lot of praise, you know, like, oh, you're going to be a great screenwriter. You're going to be the first fan of my movies who made their own movie, you know? And so it was very, there was a lot of what I refer to as mentoring. What I later found out way after 1992 was actually a grooming process. And I didn't know that. So, So when I did get drugged and raped in the front seat of a Porsche, afterwards, this person did indeed act like this was a consensual act between two adults, and that this was, you know, while it was going on, because it was in and out of consciousness, I remember him saying, "You've wanted to do this since you were 12." And the feeling of feeling like, oh my God, you know, like this person who I trusted and this person who was going to make me a screenwriter, quote. So when she does wake up the next morning and he acts like nothing happened, you know, or just he's asleep, and he's just like, it's asleep like two people who had had sex the night before and it was consensual, right?
Yeah.
Just very like a, like, you know. And when she goes to her apartment the next day and she trashes all her medical books,
Yep.
you know, because at this point, she has abandoned the idea of being a surgeon or of being anybody involved with anything that saves lives, right? Because her life has been destroyed. And there's a part where it almost is like that's the last sliver of naivete that she had.
Oh yeah, no, she
That's
is,
it. And
yeah,
he's
she is
right.
done. She is absolutely dead inside.
He's fucking dead, right? So she goes back to the club, and I like, see, here's what I really loved about this is that she obviously tells Billy and of course
Lance.
Lance. Yeah, she tells Billy and Lance what happened, but we don't actually see her tell them. All
Nope.
she says is, want to make 5 grand? And they're like, yes, of course I do, you
Yes.
know. So they bring somebody into the next room. So you see her, she shows up now. She's in this gorgeous black vinyl dress with a with an apron. And she is essentially dressed like Takashi Miike's female character in Audition. That's what this
Audition.
was modeled
Yeah.
after, of course.
Yep.
And you see that you hear the faint whimpers of somebody, of a man, right? And you know, as a sexual assault survivor, this is the fantasy of all women that fucking get assaulted. It's just like, I want to have that person on a slab so I can do whatever I want to them. And so I love this scene.
Yeah.
Just very happy with this scene. She shoots him up with a numbing agent, and one of the things she says to him is just, isn't this fun? You know, and you know, we don't really know what she does. We just know that she does
She
some
goes through a list of what she
she
is going to do.
right and then doesn't, but then we don't see any of it.
Nope.
She just says it and then cut to the next scene, and now she has transformed from a mild-mannered college med student to a person who now has her own business doing body modification. Now, my question to you, Miss Hillary, because you tend to be a little bit more outside the box than myself, what is your opinion of body modification? Now, granted, there are different levels. Obviously, there's, you know, there's piercings and scarification, and then it goes all the way into removing limbs and attaching them different places and becoming a Barbie doll. And you know, a lot of other stuff that we've seen. So what's your personal opinion of it?
I like without getting ultra like specific, I definitely feel like my body, my choice, and I should be able to do realistically whatever I want to this, so long as I can do it in a safe, like sane consensual manner, right? Like, you know, they talk about that in like BDSM, you know, that it's safe, sane, and consensual. So, like, if there is a surgeon and, you know, like, if I think that, you know, I shouldn't have my left arm for whatever reason, you know, and a surgeon is willing to remove it, you know, like, do it. Now, I don't think then that justifies you for like disability.
Okay, that's an interesting take on that. That's
Yeah,
actually
like,
something I did not, neither myself or Slink, when we were watching this film, we did not discuss that. So that's interesting. Okay,
yeah, I
gotcha.
don't think wanting to look how I feel entitles me to something else. I feel that you are entitled to, you want to pierce yourself up, you want to scarify, you want to do this, you want to remove a limb. But like all of those things, like you better be able to still support yourself.
Right, because those changes do not entitle you to special treatment.
Correct. Yeah, it is not, you know.
Because they are okay. Okay. All right. All right. All right.
Yeah, you are now not the government's problem.
Yeah,
You
I
know,
got you. I
like,
got you.
yeah, that's, and that would, you know, and again, there is a case by case basis. No, I don't think, you know, seriously mentally ill people should, you know, be able to, you know, like, no, I would not give a paranoid schizophrenic, you know, implants to like terrify themselves. Like, just so I do think that, you know, safe, sane, and consensual, I cannot be the expert there, you know, because
Well,
it is,
right.
yeah, like,
Neither of us are psychologically sound.
right, yeah, you know,
No,
but yeah, no, I, if you can afford it and it can be done safely and not in some dungeon of a strip club. You know, so
okay.
somebody has the
Yep.
medical know-how that this could be done. I can afford it and I can still take care of myself. Run that shit. Now,
Absolutely.
maybe that is, you know, I'm being classist of just, well, now body modifications only for the ultra rich. I don't know what to tell you. I can't fix the whole system in one podcast. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh my God. So getting back to the movie, since we've been up on lots of soapboxes this episode, oh my goodness. We meet a lovely, proper Brit of a policeman named Lieutenant Dolar, or Sergeant Dolar. I don't know. What's the level of detect? Is it Detective Dolar? So Dolar, by the way, is French for pain, is why that
oh.
name was chosen. So he shows up and essentially, interrogates our lovely Miss Mary and says, hey, did you know Professor Dickhead? And she's like, I did. And he's like, well, we can't find him. And
Yeah,
we're just wondering
he's
where
gone
he went.
missing.
He's gone missing. And her reaction to this is amazing because she is Catherine Isabel is so good at being just like stone faced. And she's just
Yep.
like, oh, well, that's unfortunate, you know.
Yeah, haven't seen him since I left med school.
Yeah, love it. Love it. So Beatrice decides to take Mary out for a coffee and gives her a card and says, this is a company called Abstract. And, Mary's like, I'm familiar with their work. They will be in town for 1 week and they will pay whatever they have to have you, who now has become internet famous
Yeah.
in the body mod community, to do what they want to do, right? And so she's like, okay. So she meets the Demon Twins, which are played by the Soska sisters, and they refer to her as Bloody Mary, which is now her nickname on the internet. And okay, so you're gonna have to explain this to me because I understand the wanting devil horns part, because I'm like, okay, yeah, absolutely, because they're the demon twins or devil twins or whatever. But the arm thing, can you explain? Because I don't remember them saying, did they say like it's because blah 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 blah. Right. Like I understand if they were like
Yeah.
conjoined twins and they wanted to be separated, right? Because they wanted to be different or oh we're conjoined we were conjoined twins and we'd like to be put back together again. Like basically this movie is all of the plots of Nip Tuck episodes.
Yes.
Let's be honest, it really
Yes.
is by way of Fincher, as far as the aesthetic is concerned. But it's, they're asking, and I'm not really sure what it is, but essentially it is an amputation and a
Reattachment.
reattach, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They want to switch the left arms because, God forbid, my sister dies before I do. I still want a piece of her with me.
Okay, see that? Okay. Okay, thank you for because that was part that I missed. I definitely missed that part. So she goes back to the strip club and she's like, yeah, I've got this difficult surgery to do. Do you know anybody? And but can I might I add, Billy is wearing the most sparkly ass Elton John sunglasses I have ever seen.
Ever. And also, he seems to know a whole lot of like down and out surgeons. Billy knows everybody. And I guess, like, yeah, if you own like the shady strip club in
I guess.
town, like, I guess you would know a whole lot of people,
The
but also, like,
lower east
everybody
side
owes
of
you a
Vancouver.
favor. Yeah, I'm, yeah, it's just like, and you know, just in case, you know, nobody. We haven't talked about it. Billy's in love with Mary.
Oh yeah, Billy. Okay, so Billy is in love with, at whatever point Billy can be in love with a woman,
Right.
because to him women are just objects, really.
Yes.
Except I think Mary represents the kind of woman that he can't have,
Yes.
because Mary is very emotionally cut off. She's not fawning over him. She's not blowing him.
Right.
She's just an absolutely exquisite work of art, that is
Yep.
also a sociopath. And I think Billy is probably pretty damaged. I think of Billy like I think of Joaquin Phoenix in 8mm, right? Like, he knows a lot of people, he knows a lot of shit, he somehow fell into this job. He's learned how to enjoy the job, but he really doesn't have any social skills that would push him beyond being a strip club owner and or procurer of down and out surgeons, as you put it.
Yeah.
Love that. It's like, oh, okay. And she goes into a room and we actually finally see what happened to Professor Dickhead, whose name is, by the way, Dr. Grant. And we see that he has had his legs removed, his arms removed. He's basically been boxing Helena'd. If you've seen Boxing Helena and you know what we're talking about, he has been totally boxing Helena'd. And I don't know if she bifurcated his tongue or she took his tongue out. I'm not even sure. But
No, she sewed his lips shut.
she showed his lips shut. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so she almost, well, okay, sewed his lips shut. Okay. And so he's got, yeah, he's so that and he's missing limbs. All of a sudden a security guard comes in and he's like, oh my God, I've got to help you. And Mary's like, that's not happening. She reaches up behind him and just beats him 27 times and kills him. And we really don't know what happened to Dr. Grant after that. Like,
No, yeah, no, he did. Lance took care of it. That's really, Lance is the guy that takes care of things. So, yeah, she beats the security guard to death. You know, stun guns, Dr. Dickhead, but we are going to say that, you know, didn't make it. And Lance took care of that. He's at the train station with all the other Yellowstone people.
Oh, and that's funny. You should mention Yellowstone. Good segue, my friend. But the cop plays Ellis Steele in Yellowstone, has a completely American accent in Yellowstone. In this movie, he has a British accent, an almost fucking spot on British accent, might I add. And then I looked him up, and Tucker was born in Chicago. Like, he is considered a Canadian actor because that is where he resides, but he is a he's from Chicago. So, but good job with that accent. Holy shit. I really thought, I was like, oh, is he really British? That would make so much sense, right? But yes, he is one of the stars of Yellowstone. So here comes my favorite scene of the whole movie. I mean, as much as I love, the torturing of a rapist, this is actually my favorite scene in the whole movie. I believe the scene is probably the most poignant and most beautifully written. Lance comes over to her. She's kind of sitting there shivering, and they're in a different room now, and he puts a coat over her. And then he says, I figured you were hungry, but I didn't know what you were in the mood for, so I got several options. And puts the food down, proving that chivalry is not dead.
Nope. Lance is a good one.
Lance is a good guy. So he talks to her and, you know, he tells her this story of how his mother was a victim of a home invasion, and she ended up in the hospital for 4 months afterwards. And he says, you know, I really wish I would have known you then. And don't you dare discount what you do.
What you do.
You know, and you make sure they deserve it. And it was just a it's just a really beautiful scene, but it's also a scene where you can tell that like pretty much every shred of humanity that she has is just gone.
Yeah,
You
she
know?
is almost, she's almost becoming the robot that Ruby Real Girl wants to be. Very dull, unemotional, absolutely going through the motion. Like she's not even getting the joy out of the modification. You know, it's all of the missed life. It's not what I have, it's what I don't. Yeah, no, she is like almost barely human.
It's a pretty amazing performance. And then the detective shows up again, and Detective Dolores tells her, okay, so now Dr. Walsh is missing. That would be the asshole who invited her to the party in the first
Yes.
place. And so he's missing. Do you know anything about that? And she's like, no, I don't. And I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, did I miss a scene? Because I was thinking about that too. I was like, oh shit, did she kill him too? And I totally missed it. But we find out that actually Billy is who killed Dr. Walsh. And we don't really know where he is either. He's fucking gone.
Lance
You
took
know?
care of it.
Lance and Billy took care of it. So gone. She gets a call and finds out that Nana died. And then that's like such a sad scene where she's deleting her out of her contacts.
Yeah, just like the, yeah, like, 'cause the scene happens and, you know, Nana calls and it's the only thing that she is like connected to on like this plane, you know, like that is it for her. And you just see like the look of, like she is a human for a hot second where she's like, what? Tear in the eyes and then just deletes the contact. And even Talon looked and he was just like, why did she delete her Nana? And I was like, Nana's dead. And she went, and that's deleted? And I said, yeah, she is going further into.
This is the spiral, like the spiral has started, and this is her last emotional anchor to humanity was Nana, and now Nana is gone.
So, yeah, no, she's out. We are in the tail end of the spiral because we've now killed an innocent security guard. We're not just going after the people, you know, for vindication, you know, it's we are on the tail end of insanity here. And Talon was like, oh, okay. Thanks,
She
babe.
ends up going back to the strip club, and she walks in on Billy getting a blowjob from a kind of naive blonde,
Yeah, a little
and
old dancer.
little dancer. So she corners her in the bathroom, and she's pretty much prepared to carve her up, right? But then she kind of has a moment where she's like, you know what? I don't really care that much about this. Like, I mean, I'm jealous of it for whatever reason, as much as I can be jealous, as much as I can have this emotion at this point, but it really doesn't matter. And you really didn't know any better. So go on with your bad self. Get out. Go on, get, you know.
Yeah, go on, get.
Go on, get.
Yeah, it was, yeah, like Billy is her man, not her man.
And Billy is having fantasies now about Mary not only stripping in front of him, but also stabbing him in the tummy.
He knows she's not well. Like,
He
Billy has survived in this industry like a long time with all these friends and everybody knowing him favors. Billy is kind of a dangerous character.
Oh,
And
yeah.
he even knows she is a thousand times more dangerous than me. And
Right. And
I love that.
yes, it's such a great scene. Now we see a scene of Ruby Real Girl with her, you know, she has this very sexy robe on, and this man approaches her. Now, when I first saw this, my first thought was not that's her husband. My first thought was that was a John.
Oh, okay.
and that this was going to be a situation where, fragile masculinity, was like, oh my God, like I'm attracted to this genitalless doll. Like I'm a terrible, oh, I must have to beat you within an inch of your life, right?
Right.
That's what I thought it was. But actually it was her husband. And when she reveals that she has, sewn up genitalia and no nipples, he doesn't react very well.
No, he's not real happy with that.
Not real happy with that. But we cut to that. We cut that scene almost immediately. So we don't really see what happens. Then, later on, her cell phone's been going off. Mary's cell phone's been going off. So she takes a call finally from Beatrice, and we see Beatrice is laying on the floor in a bloody heap with blood everywhere. And she says, Ruby's husband came back, killed her, tortured me to try to figure out where you live. And so, and I had to tell him
Yeah,
because
I didn't want to tell
want
him,
to.
but and you and one look at her, you go, yeah, no, I would have started talking long before then.
Right, I get it, girl. Right,
Yeah.
so we'll call him Mr. Shiny Teeth. Mr. Shiny Teeth then shows up at Mary's new loft and stabs her, and then she manages to get around and stab him too. He dies, and we see her dragging her own body across her loft floor, and to do her final surgery, which
Yeah,
is
to
the
suture herself.
suture herself. And then she dies tragically, to the throes of Ave Maria.
Yep.
So that's kind of where I got that this is an opera, because it has this absolutely tragic end to this female character.
Yep.
And it's there's a lot of different ways of looking at this, man. There's a lot of different ways of looking at it, is that, rape victims most of the time end up silenced one way or another. Another way of looking at it is, he who fights monsters should, what is it? He who fights monsters has to be careful not to become a monster themselves. She could have realized that she was, in fact, becoming a monster, and that this was her end.
Yep. And I
There's a
think
lot of.
that she kind of did in the bathroom
Yeah, yeah.
when she realized, like she was on camera and she was like, what am I doing? Yeah,
Yeah.
like that moment of like, I'm about to kill this girl over a dick I don't even want.
Right, for blowing a strip club owner who I may or may not have feelings for.
Right. Like that, I'm in a very complicated situationship
Right.
with, but I am absolutely going to remove this woman's, something, because that's what she does. Yeah, I've just, yeah, am I the problem? There is that moment of like, am I the problem? And it's
Oh
like, yes,
yeah.
bitch.
Oh yeah.
Yes, you are the fucking problem.
Oh yeah, man. She really just she's like, okay. And I think when she is dying, and when she does manage to suture herself, I think there is also a moment of like release with her where she's like,
Oh
okay.
yeah. Thank God. Yeah, no, thank God I
Yeah.
don't have to keep going through this life
Yeah.
like this,
Yeah.
doing this. I
Yep.
like
Yep.
this became unfun a long time ago and I didn't know how
Absolutely.
to stop.
Absolutely. Much like drug addiction. Yeah. So anyway, that is the upper that was American Mary.
Yeah. What a fun time that was.
What a fun time that was. But we got another Buy Me a Coffee. So we're back on our Buy Me a Coffee. I know, man, it's amazing. Like the people that support the show, I'm just like, thank you.
Wow.
But Bobby would like us to do A Girl Walks Home at Night.
Oh, hell, I've been dying to see this. Dying.
I know nothing of, I have not even watched a trailer. So this will be a fun time, really, to watch this. We do have an Instagram on Manic Movie Monday podcast, but I'm pretty sure we're shadow banned at the moment because
What'd you do, Aaron?
I know
What'd you do?
You know, it's like you post a couple things about a kid in a brown hoodie punching out a fucking ice apologist, and then before you know it, you got one like on everything. So we do have a page. It is Manic Movie Monday podcast on Instagram. You can find us, you can email us on there. But I hope you see us because
Because Aaron went thinking again and.
I did. I shouldn't have, but I did. So sorry about
Sorry.
that. Sorry, not sorry, as the kids would say. Oh my goodness gracious. So yeah. So I will say I really loved this. I think this is a fantastic movie. It is on Tubi. It is on several different streaming platforms here. You can watch it. So
Shout out, Tubi.
shout out to Tubi. Shout out to the Sosu sisters for making a movie heroine we can all believe in and get behind. Beyond that, I'm not sure what to say about that, but I can tell you that yes, next week we will be doing A Girl Walks Home at Night for our Buy Me a Coffee Bobby. Oh, I like that. Buy Me a Coffee Bobby. All
Yeah,
right.
Bobby, buy more movies, buy more coffees, so
Nice,
we because
man.
we want to say that.
I love that. So anyway, keep it here till next week, and as always, stay
Stay mad.